हरिः
ॐ
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैरगराधर शिव सनि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. After the Grihastha ashram, this is page 19, is another ashram known as Vanaprastha, which is midway between Grihastha and Sannyas. A person in the Vanaprastha order is restricted in eating food grains and forbidden to eat fruits that have not ripened on the tree. Right? Develops patience. You know, and then there's the kids. Nor should he cook food with fire, although he's allowed to eat charu, grains that have been offered in a sacrificial fire, because charu means that you... Oh, it means, okay.
Get nervous there.
Yeah. Can't eat cooked food, but he can eat charu. See, charu can eat cooked food, and then you can eat charu. So it works out. But without cooking. Charu means is that on that fire, generally speaking, it's on the fire that you're doing the yajna with, you cook actually the offering. Right? So you cook the sweet rice, you cook the kind of like a... I don't know what you'd call them, but, you know, basically kind of like grain, kind of the coarse grain, like pancake kind of things, and other things like this that are offered. They're cooked on the fire. So there's utensils for doing that kind of thing. So that he can eat. But that would mean it's not, it means if he goes and visits another vanaprastha and they offer a curse, then that's there. But it generally would mean he's doing homas himself. Because that's of the so many varieties of vratas that a vanaprastha can take, then one of them would be that he takes the fire with him, right? So that would also generally mean he would be sapatni or with wife, right? Because then they've been doing the yajna in the house, so when they leave the house and move to the forest, they take the fire with them, right? Some don't; they just go out and perform austerities. Like this. Does that make sense? So you choose something within that, you just become more and more austere, more and more focused on that, more and more detached. So it's not that there's specifically a progression in vratas. You know, so it's not like, Kutichak, Bahudak, Pravijakacharya, Paramahamsa. It's not like that. It's just that there's 10 different ways you can approach it. Since someone's coming out of Grihastha life, right, so then he gets adjusted with that. Does that make sense?
And the modern adjustment to that?
Modern adjustment to that? How do you say? He becomes a food freak.
That's what I think. Can digest anything anyway.
Yeah, well, they take the grains, the barley and that, and they're ground into powder, and then you put that into your shake and stuff like that. So yes, they don't cook the grains. Right? No?
But yeah. It's not advised, right?
Yeah, like that. And, it means it's only those boxes of juice that are, on the shelf, that are there for buying, that are ready to take, only those fruit juice, then you take those. You know, you don't go into the back. You don't go into the back and harass the god. You just take what comes easily, right? Yeah. No? Yes. So.
And when they say they carry.
Or it means when you go up, the avocados should be ripe. Don't buy green ones because then you're being, how you say, worried about the future. You should only deal in the present. So you only buy avocados that you're going to use then. Right? You don't buy, you know, for so many days and then keep them and do all the things, you know, put them in the bags, put them, you know, whatever it is that you do. Right? No? So that's the, it says here, only fruits that have properly ripened. Right? Yeah. Living in a thatched cottage. Ha. Okay. The vanaprastha should endure all kinds of heat and cold. He should not cut his nails or hair, right? So these two go together, though it's not popular. Everyone likes to grow their hair and beard, but along with that goes nails. Like Chaturmas, you know, you got the guys with the 4 months beard and all that. They should have 4 months of fingernails.
What?
Huh? What? Oh, yeah, you have your emery file. They can sit around in class and file, you know, like that, yeah. Like that. You know, put a little, just, you know, the clear glaze on them so they don't look too bad, right? You know. Yeah, but generally, you know, everybody, you know, likes the beard part but not the nail part. Because after about 3 weeks, when you take a bath, you start scratching yourself. You start to wash and everything, you scratch yourself. So you can imagine 4 months, you know, so. That's this side of the room. This side knows these things quite well. You know?
Welcome,
Mr. Yes, yes. Oh, for 4 months. Yeah, I have to grow my fingernails as Chaturmas, right? Because the women, they don't shave, right? You know, so then they grow their nails. So, you know, so, okay. Yeah, okay. And he should give up cleaning his body and teeth. Okay. Okay. Now you can understand why we just go from grihasta to sannyas, right? You want a guy like this hanging around? Right, okay. Yes. Yeah. Right. Okay. He should wear tree bark except the danda. That means the stick for walking, not the tree danda. Because danda means single. Like brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, grihasthas, they use single sticks. But sannyasis, they're the ones that use the triple. Okay. And practice life in the forest, taking a vow to live there for 12 years, 8 years, 4 years, 2 years, or at least 1 year. Right, the ideal is 12, but at least something. The bell so either depends, or either they're starting earlier, there's more to work with, so they spend more time in it. It's going to be the terminal ashram, you know, like this, so like that. So they, but at least for a year it's done. So either after a year, then they go into sannyas, or their austerities were so severe that after a year, then they left their body, so whatever it is. So, you know, you want to get it timed. You don't want to do it less than a year, right? At last, when, because of old age, you can no longer perform the activities of a vanaprastha, he should gradually stop everything and in this way give up his body, right? So here's meaning that vanaprastha is a terminal ashram. One can leave the body at that point. So either one goes, one has one's austerities, one's different things that he does. You can't perform it any more than he just stops, you know, eating, drinking like this. And this way then he leaves the body. Or if he's a yogi, then he can just through meditation leave the body. Yes.
Can we say that sannyas is for brahmanas and vanaprastha could be for kshatriyas and vaishyas?
Yes, you could say that. That means anyone who can do that. The point is that either one of them is good. So if in your own you're well situated in that, you have something that you can do, some preaching, then you would continue. So we generally wouldn't, perform austerity so severely that one would leave the body in that. Because that's the idea. At some point you do. But because you're so austere and everything like that, it's definitely you're going to get a elevated position in next life. Right? You think of Krishna, you go back to Godhead, or at least, you know, those who want liberation or the heavenly planets, that kind of stuff's guaranteed. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses 1 to 16, the Brahmacharya Ashram. verses 17 to 31, the Vanaprastha ashram. Oh, so it does the others in another two ashrams.
Yeah, then the next chapter is sannyas, which is called.
Oh, okay, and then after that, then the two after that are the grihastha.
The perfect person and an ideal family life.
Okay.
And the instructions for civilized human
beings. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Giving up eating is no suicide?
It's actually one of the best diet plans there is. You don't eat, you don't...
You chant the prayer.
No, it's a accepted way to leave the body. Because you have time to think about things. You know what I'm saying? So the point is if you can actually do it, that means you must be very focused and very determined. You can't do it because you're upset about something and things like that. You understand? Because it's actually determination, because I don't know what they say nowadays. When I was a kid, you could go, I think it was 3 or 5 days without water before you died. Like that. And I think 30 days without food. I'm not sure what they say nowadays, because they always keep changing these things. Like I just read the other day, you know, like CPR, how it's always you do so many pushes and then breathe and push and breathe. But the problem is that unless you do at least 10 pumps, it doesn't get blood to the brain, and that's the main thing. Because the body has something that can get in a little bit of air to maintain the brain. It has a way of moving the diaphragm and that. It's not full breath, you know, you're not going to be, you know, doing anything special in rugby or something, but, you know, so it's, you know, in a sense. So now they're saying you don't even bother with the breathing.
You just do the chest movement.
Yeah, that's all. That, or after 30, maybe you can do one or two. Some say 100. You know, it's just, that's the whole problem, right? Why I mention is that, you know, every so many years, then they completely change what the thing. So I don't know now what they say, you know. But basically, it's not very long that you'll be there, right? Because when you stop, if you stop only eating but drink, you could go a long time. But if you stop eating and drinking, but that means you're still performing, you know, your basic elements of getting up, taking your bath, and things like that, and then sitting in your place or lying in your place and like this. You understand? So it's not that you just lay there and get bored. Okay, verses 1 to 16, the Brahmacharya ashram. The Brahmacharya should live under the care of the spiritual master, always carrying out his order. Under his direction, the Brahmacharya should engage himself in spiritual activities and study the Vedic literature. So that's the thing, menial service and student. These are the important, the essential elements. Nard Muni said, a student should practice completely controlling his senses. He should be submissive and should have an attitude of firm friendship for the spiritual master. Right? So that firm friendship means is that he's very committed to whatever happens, because he's living this simple lifestyle. So there's nothing specifically for him to gain. And everything to gain is coming from the instruction of the spiritual master. So it has to have that strong. So we see is that if there's not a strong relationship with the spiritual master, that's not an ideal situation. Right, one's supposed to develop that. It's something important, because one's development is always based on that relationship with the spiritual master. Does that make sense?
So we're not talking only about the Brahmacharis. We're talking in general.
It's specifically about the Brahmacharis, but all the aspects of the Brahmacharis, they go for all four orders. They'll be followed in its more, simple state as a Brahmachari. Right? And so then, therefore you'll see it in its fullest form. But the same things are there in all the ashrams. There isn't something else. It just means that how it's completely controlling the senses. So he's completely controlling the senses because there isn't anything else. Right? There is no other engagement for the senses except for simple service. The grihastha is controlling the senses, but it's in an environment of more things are happening. Does that make sense? Just hoping maybe maybe that guy? Okay. So maybe that's it, all the topics before. Now we're talking about Brahmacharya, right? So now he's... Okay, now it makes sense to him, okay? Yes.
Is it that... So this is... Ideally, we should learn these things early in life because we're going to apply them for the rest of our
lives. The rest of life, yes.
So if we haven't had that training, it means we still have to understand it.
The point is that... That because ours is a process of intelligence, and through intelligence you can introduce anything.
Yeah.
It's just the later you start, then the longer it takes generally to establish it. Means skills on one level may be easier as an adult, but qualities, that's what's going to be harder. You know, because it said, you know, okay, well, anything you do there you could do later. That's why in Gurukul it's not about the skills. There's not a lot of skills except for the brahminical skills that are taught like that to the brahmacharis. What they learn is character. Because as an adult, you can learn skills very quickly. You know, it's like on-the-job training is how long? How many weeks? It's just weeks. So what someone goes to school for 4 years, 3 years to learn, you can actually do on the job in 3 weeks. Like that. But what you can't learn on the job is the character. So that's the most important thing. So that's why Gurukul focuses on that, because anything can be learned later. So if it comes to, okay, as a child I learn character but not skills, and then as adult I learn the skills because I already have the character, that will work. If it's no, as a child I learn the skills because otherwise when I grow up how I'll maintain myself, but then you grow up you don't have the character.
Yeah.
How you'll gain that? What in modern society is there to gain qualities? What system? There isn't one.
Military.
Military could do it. But the whole point is nowadays most places are volunteer armies, so then you may or may not get anything. And even if they do, it's 2 years. You just have to tough it out for 2 years. You may gain something. Definitely you'll gain something. But it won't be like someone who makes a career. Then they'll really get something. Someone was telling me this other day about... somebody's brother, devotee, but he was military for 10 years. And so you can really see it, just how he stands, how he deals, his respectfulness, all that. So they work on the qualities. But how do they work on those qualities? Yeah, it's really rough. Well, in the Gurukul, you can do it more because they're young. You can do it a little more gently like that. So the only system that the modern world has is military. It's not nice. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So it's meant for a particular class of men who can handle that. They can get the most advantage. Others will get some benefit out of it, because of course being in an environment of qualities is good for everybody. But the thing is, this is not necessarily they'll practice it once they are out of the situation. So the idea is that it should be a situation, being in it, you will carry that through your whole life. Right? Does that make sense? Because you see a military man through his whole life he has those qualities. But if they're in a non-military and they gain there, there'll be something, but he won't keep it. But the idea is Gurukul, then everybody, the intellectual, military, and economic, they can get it, and through their whole life they can maintain it. So therefore, if you're going to have learning qualities and get your skills later, or learn skills now and not get qualities... then what's the point? So if it's going to be, okay, I'll get the skills now, and then when I grow up, I'll join the army. But the point is if someone can join the army, why couldn't they go to Gurukul? Because if you can do the army, Gurukul's, you know, easy, right? Does that make sense? You know?
My maker say that after being in Gurukul, army was easy.
Who said?
My nephew. Your nephew? The Yotama and Kayagriva.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, they're easy because it's... We do... Because it's not that it's rough. It's just you learn to be regulated. And you learn that you get up at a certain time, you go to bed at a certain time, you keep your stuff nice. Whether they did it in Gurukul or not, but they knew that that's what's to do. And so in that military environment, it's... There's... repercussions if you don't do it. You know? Like, we just want you to roll up the bed and stick it in the locker. That's all we ask. We don't ask you that your bed, everything's so tight that when they flip a coin on it that it bounces, or that you can use your boots as a mirror to put on your T-lock. We're not, you know, we're not asking that. Yeah, no, it's easy.
So,
does that make sense?
Yes.
So therefore, of the two, it would seem more intelligent to get the qualities when you can get it, because skills you can get anytime. But because of intelligence, you can work on getting the skills, but it'll take longer. Mm-hmm. Because you're in an environment of you know, action, attachments, people are judging and that. Well, in the Gurukul, you're not. The Brahmacharya's environment, it's you're simply just seen for attitude. It's what you, skill is not what you're judged on. Mm-hmm. You're judged by attitude. The skill, you move at whatever speed you do. But in the you know, adult world, skill has to be there already. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, you're judged by that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the point is this: it can always be done. Point is, it's just the austerity that should have been done is that Brahmacharya, you have to do it now,
right.
And you'll gain it because everything's gained through austerity. So.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Yeah, so it's just like Krishna, he is the friend of everyone. Why? Because he's actually super soul. What, he's actually working for everyone's benefit. So the spiritual master is also working for the benefit. Right? The spiritual development, that's the real benefit. With a great vow, the brahmacharya should live at the Gurukul only for the benefit of the guru. Because right? Then you're learning the principle of only working for Krishna's benefit. That's what has to be learned. So as a brahmacharya, what's the gain? Right? There's nothing materially to gain anyway, but you can gain this principle of doing everything for Krishna. Then as a grihastha, where one gains so many things, one can still see it in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? So a great vow means... He's one is that he's celibate, but the other is that he's determined, he's focused. Because that's how one will get anything done. So even as an adult, you want to get something done, you have to have focus, you have to have determination. At both junctions of day and night, namely in the early morning and the evening, he should be fully absorbed in thoughts of the spiritual master, fire, the sun god, and Lord Vishnu. And by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, he should worship them. Right, so he's gotten the mantra from the spiritual master, so through that he's worshipping. Fire, he does his yajna and all this and that. His worship, whatever it is. And then the sun god means is then the Gayatri Mantra. So then by worshipping, by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, he's following the order of the guru, and then he's worshipping in this way. Does that make sense? So in other words, he's performing his sadhana, you know, morning and evening. He's performing his japa. These kind of things. So direct activities of devotional service he's doing morning and evening. Right? Because the grihastha may be able to work him in the morning, he may not in the evening, but the brahmachari does it twice. Then there's more chance as a grihastha, then he can have some kind of evening sadhana. So, does that make sense? Yeah. Being called by the spiritual master, the student should study the Vedic mantras regularly. Every day, so it's not that he just goes when he likes and not when he wants. So it's not like college or something. You show up if you want or not. Or like I was just talking the other day with a professor. So they give a lecture, right? And 300 students are there. So then the question was, how many actually pay attention to what he's saying? He said 20 maximum. How many actually want to know the subject? 2 or 3. 20 pay attention because they want to get a grade, but it's not necessarily that they want to learn the subject, but they know they have to pay attention enough to pass the grade. See, you're smiling over there. Okay. Okay. But, yeah, so the point is no, you go regularly, you learn, you pay attention. Every day, before beginning his studies and at the end of his studies, the disciple should respectfully offer obeisances unto the spiritual master. Because that's how he's going to learn. That's why we chant before and after we chant mantra. Because otherwise, then, you don't learn. You don't respect before, you won't understand. You don't respect afterwards, you won't remember. Right?
Huh? And if we still don't remember?
Just imagine what it'd be if you didn't, how bad it'd be. Did I even go to class? Wake up in the morning, brushing your teeth. Who are you? Yeah. So, you know, be happy. You know, at least that much. You know.
Previously, we mentioned that you should have a firm friendship with the guru.
Right.
Means relationship.
It doesn't mean they sit around whacking each other on the back and telling, you know, crass jokes and stuff like that. No.
In general, relationship with the guru should be personal.
Yes. It means it's possible. But because here you're living with the spiritual master. So there's the aspect of that for friendship. So there's not familiarity, but there's not also just neglect. You just happen to be. It's not just a flop house. You know, like that. So it's you're actually, how you say? You know, there's a relationship.
My question is more about devotees in general. How many do have some kind of personal relationship with the guru, and how much is it necessary?
Well, you have a few approaches. One is that there may not be just due to circumstances and the things like that, but at the same time as here is that we have the spiritual master. This is the one you're living with, but you also have the aspect of spiritual master being whoever is senior and whoever is some way benefiting you with the understanding of Krishna consciousness. So there should be some. So the principle is you have a good relationship, whether it can be expressed personally on a daily basis, but at least that's there, right? You know, because there's remembrance, there's prayers, there's pictures, there's, you know, all these different aspects. Like that, that's aspects of it. Right? Okay. Carrying pure kusa grass in his hand. The brahmachari should dress regularly with a belt of straw and with deerskin garments. Right, so carrying pure kusa means he's collecting the items for worship, like whatever is necessary. Means that's the whole point. Means whatever is needed for doing the daily yajnas, whatever the worships in the house, whatever needs to be collected for maintaining the ashram, that he's arranging. Right, not that he's just sitting around and expects that. How you say? Parimal is going to deliver it whenever he shows up. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So dressed with a belt of straw and deerskin garments. You know, the belt of straw because that helps maintain the brahmacharya. So they use munja grass that's woven into a belt, and they wear that, and so that's what they use as a belt. Right? Grihasthas don't like that. They use cloth. So that makes sense. But brahmacharis, they would generally use munja grass. So that makes sense. But as Gaudiyas, we generally don't worry about the munja grass. We only use it in the, what do you call it? In the ceremony, as a ceremonial aspect. Otherwise, we also just use cloth. So it's considered one of the elements that we're careful about.
And the deerskin, same?
Yeah. Because deer skin just means the garments there, because it's they would use it for everything. They would sit on it for their sadhana. They would sleep on it. They would use it for, you know, the cold, the wind, the rain, because they're waterproof, like that. So it does everything. You know, so one garment does all. You know, so it's kind of like, I forget who worked that out. I forget if it was the Russians or Germans or that. They had a coat. And you can unzip the bottom, and it turned into a sleeping bag.
No.
Like that. I can't remember who worked that one out. But
that sounds pretty German.
Yeah. Huh?
Sounds German.
German, yeah. So somebody did something like that. Okay. He should wear matted hair, carry a rod and water pot, and be decorated with a sacred thread, as recommended in the Shastras. Right, so as recommended means according to his position. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they would be wearing all these, but what kind of skin, what kind of cloth, what kind of thread that they're using, that would be different. What size of danda, what kind of danda. So there would be a distinction there. So generally we just use the Brahminical standard because that's the position that we're taking. By the chanting process, then we are able to be involved because of that. So because of chanting, we can be involved in the Pancharatra. Because of that, we can be involved in the Vedic. Therefore, we just take the brahminical point. Seems to have found a good spot. Okay. Okay, matted hair, because you either grow it or shave it. So if you're doing pancharatrik puja and stuff like that, then you'd use a shaved head. If they're just doing austerities and just doing yajnas and like that, then they would have the matted hair. Like that. So either one. Either one is simple. One is you don't do anything with it, or two, you shave it, and so you don't have to do anything with it. Either one. Right? The rod, because then you go out for walking, checking things. Also, anything comes around that you don't want to be around, then you have a stick. Right? Water pot, so you have water, because then you can always, for drinking, for purifying yourself, achman, different things like this. Okay. The brahmachari should go out morning and evening, because and therefore he's sacred thread, so he's initiated. So that's the point. He should be initiated into the thing. Then he'll be strong. Then all the other things that will be solid. Right? The brahmachari should go out morning and evening to collect alms, and he should offer all that he collects to the spiritual master. Right? So you see there they'll go out twice a day. I think Brahmins just go out once a day. Sannyasis also, like that, vanaprastas, like that. They just go once. But brahmacharis go twice because they're going out and they're maintaining the ashram. So it's not they're just getting for themselves. Whatever they're giving the spiritual master, he's taking care of the whole ashram that way. Is that... Yeah. He should eat only if ordered to take food by the spiritual master. Otherwise, if the spiritual master does not give his order, he may sometimes have to fast. The brahmachari should be quite well behaved and gentle and should not eat or collect more than necessary. Right? So quite well behaved and gentle means he's learning. So he's not that he perfected it yet. That'll take time. So that's why then he's practicing. But it should be his mind that this is of value. Then he can learn it. He must always be, so, and also he learns just how much he requires. That's very, very important to learn. I only require this much to function. So you see with time how much stuff you have. Just like as a basic kind of practice, if you haven't used it in 6 months, you don't need it.
Seasons change.
But that's another thing. That's winter clothes, but then you'll be using it. So then if you want to go throw in seasonal changes, if you haven't used it in a year, you don't need it. you know what I'm saying? So they practice that. That way then as a grihastha, one, any situation they can live simply, or as a grihastha, they can keep just what's necessary to run. So there's more things because you're considering all the social and all so many other scenarios. So you have for that, but you don't have more than what you require for that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then it makes life very easy, because if one's satisfied with only how much one requires, then there's less misery, right? The material world gives you less problem. Right? Misery comes up on wanting more than what you have. Right? You could say, no, but when I get it, I'll be fine. No, as soon as you get it, then you'll be miserable about something else you need. Because in the endeavor to get what you want, you find out there's something better. Like that. But if you're satisfied, then if something comes along, it's better, then it's good. So you just make the endeavor for what is required, and then you maintain that. So that's the whole idea. Motive passions reduce because you're just maintaining. So it's motive goodness. So if you keep just what you require, you're basically maintaining. Right? Does that make sense? So very rare you have to get something, very rare you have to get rid of something.
No. Happiness is celebrated.
Yes, yes, yes. Getting all that. You know, so you have one little box or one little closet, Elmira or something like that, that you have to maintain rather than a whole house, right? It means every occasionally go through that little bit and see what you require and don't require is much easier than trying to go through a whole house. Right? You know, it's like, remember, I had something, I was went traveling, and I put it in the car to send back to give to the boys. But, you know, the driver, instead of giving it to the boys, it gives it to whoever arranged the car, right? And then I wonder, what happened to that? No one knows about it. years later, when that person actually cleaned that room, then they found it. Hey, what's this? You know? And then something else. So it's also, think at the festival, then you have all the pavitras and everything. So then after we were doing something else, so that was all kind of given to somebody to take back. But being who they were, they took it home. And then from home, out of the bag, onto the thing, the wife's, what's this, puts it somewhere else. And then I think it was 3 or 4 years later. What's this? Oh, that's Mario. Yeah, so that's the point. You know, the other, you can do it on a weekly basis or like this. But the other one, it's years before you actually. So if you practice it earlier, it makes it a lot easier. Right? Does that make sense? Like you've done it from early. I had one boy come. He was already... How old would he have been? Kind of get the idea, maybe like 15 or something like that. Already older. Already really thought he was, you know, advanced and mature and better than everyone else. And he was asking me, well, how to be renounced? You know, I have so much stuff and all this. What I didn't gain at the time is he was only saying that, so I would think, oh, he's so renounced, he's so advanced, and my respect for him would increase. But instead, I thought, oh, I'll help you. There's a nice way to do that. So he went over to his stuff like that, you know, got all his stuff. And then he sits there and I just pick the thing up and says, you need this or not. And if there's not an immediate reaction, it goes into the don't need it pile. Right? You know, unless like this, you know, like that. So then it's like that. So then it's all, then you separate it. He needs this little bit amount. Okay, of what's left. Okay, what's useless? Okay, this stuff's useless. We throw that out. And with this other stuff, that's good. We'll give that to the other boys who need it. Took 5 minutes, like that. The guy was emotionally devastated for weeks. Like that. You know, because he just couldn't believe what happened. You know, it's like all his Italian, everything is just like, you know, so, yeah. So that's why you start young. It makes it very easy. Like that.
Boys only?
Of course. Only. Girls are from the beginning collect as much as possible. You know, if you don't already have 12 saris by the time you're 4, then there's something wrong with you. Because otherwise, how are you going to get to that, you know, that whatever is your ideal number? And same way, as a girl should be trying to keep it as simple as possible, but it's within the context of the emotional needs and social things, but you don't keep more than you need. Does that make sense? Like that. But it doesn't mean that how much you need is not way more than what this brahmachari needs. Like that. You know, in other words, if all you need is, you know, how you say, the little eyeliner, the little compact, and one other thing, that's all you need, then that's all you keep. You don't have the suitcase that you think and open it out with all the different levels and, you know, how you say it like that, you know. Okay. Is that word good? Oh, getting even more. Yeah. We've figured out it's cold now, so. You know, I say, how you say, getting scratched or petted, then doesn't really warm you up so much, but okay. Okay. Continue with the brahmachari. Discuss that brahmachari. So, okay. Yeah, see, it's because what we're discussing doesn't keep more than necessary. See, before he was leaning on 2 bags. Then he figured out, no, actually, I only need 1 bag. So then he shifted over and now he's only using 1 bag. Okay. See, so proper brahmachari. He must always be active and expert. Fully believing in the instruction of the spiritual master and the shastra. This is important. Otherwise, if you don't, that baggage will haunt you your whole life. Of not fully believing in the instructions of the spiritual master. Oh, it should be this or that, or this is too much, or that's that, and this is this. That will get you your whole life. So better deal it with... That's something you should deal with as early as possible. Yes?
Do you mean speculation?
Not speculation. It means it's more here fully believing in. There may be speculations, but generally it's based on misgivings.
The misgivings will haunt you.
Yeah, it means like you have devotees now, they're in the 60s, 70s, and they're still functioning on misgivings they had back in the 70s, 60s, and 70s, 80s, like that, and they're still trying to fulfill that and make the ideal situation based on their misgivings at that time, and it's not working. Like that, yeah. And the Shastra. So it has to be, the Shastra says this, spiritual master says this, this is what's done. You try to fulfill that. Not, like you're saying, speculating and coming up with some other idea of, you know, what it actually means. You know, like that. Fully controlling his senses, he should associate only as much as necessary with women or those controlled by women. So how much is needed, that you properly do. So it's not that they avoid, it's just only how much is necessary. Right? But that's basically how much anybody should do. You could say, oh, but that's too strong. What's the problem they associate with women? Okay, great. Let's take that as a point. Okay, which woman appreciates that their husband associates with women other than her more than necessary? None. So therefore, it's a valuable lesson. So if you don't learn as a brahmachari, it'll be harder to apply as a grihastha. Right? So therefore, at least the women shouldn't complain about this one. Men, maybe, but women shouldn't complain about this one. Like that. Srila Prabhupada comments, a brahmachari should be very careful not to mix with women or with men addicted to women. Right? Means a grihastha, it's not a grihastha he has to be careful of. It's men attached to women that they're addicted to. That means it's more than what's necessary. Because then from them you'll learn the same attachment. Over attachment. So those who are properly performing their duties, those who are doing their grihasthas, their association isn't a problem. Right? Just like if there's some service or something with the women, then there's not a problem. But more than that, that's another thing. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, kitchen duty. So many times the brahmacharis and the ladies are in the kitchen together. Right? That's necessary because they're cooking. But after cooking, then hanging out and joking and laughing, that's not necessary. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have to know what is necessary, what's not. Yeah. But that doesn't mean if some lady comes to the temple and asks some directions from the brahmachari, he doesn't talk to her or anything. That's not what it's talking about. Because it's necessary. Someone's come, you tell them the information. After that, then you, I guess. It's not necessary, you know. That's not necessary, you know. Unless there's somebody, a senior brahmachari or someone like that, who's more, you know, known for that. But just a brahmachari, not so much like that. Not necessary like that. They got plenty of other people to greet them. Yeah, so there's no need to stand at the door and everyone who comes in, welcome.
Like that.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. Yeah. Okay. Although when he goes out to beg alms, it is necessary to talk with women, and with men very much attached to women. This association should be very short. And he should talk with them only about begging alms. So it's, in other words, it's about the service. Like that. And not more. So outside of the service, then they don't discuss. Because if they can do that, then they can stick to the point. Right? One is they won't associate with others outside of the women in their family, you know, more than should be. And they can also keep to the point. Right? So when you're in an environment when there's so many options, you can see actually what should be done and stick to that. Right? Because that's a very good thing to be able to do. Otherwise, people get distracted. So many things are happening. And then they forget what they're doing. Okay? A brahmachari should be very careful in associating with men who are attached to women, right? Because they're just going to talk about women than that. So then there's not going to be much value in that kind of association. Does that make sense? Women talk about women, that's okay, that's normal. But men talk about women, then that's a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. Narad Muni continued, a brahmachari, one who has not accepted the grihastha ashram, family life, must rigidly avoid talking with women or about women. for the senses are so powerful that they may agitate even the mind of a sannyasi, a member of the renounced order of life. Srila Prabhupada comments. Brahmacharya essentially means the vow not to marry, but to observe strict celibacy, brihadvrata. That was the meaning before, a great vow. So he takes up the brahmacharya ashram with the, wow, twice in a day we have the very tall man. This time he bent over and saw that we could see.
Did he look in?
Yeah, he bent over and looked in. Okay. So that's brihadvrata, that's the great vow. Right? So therefore, as a brahmachari, then he's not involved with the girls. It's not like this. So anybody who does get involved with the girls, they can't maintain brahmacharya. It's guaranteed. Say what you want, have all the theory and things. Oh no, but if they don't get used to women now, they won't know how to deal with them later. It's like everybody in the West has been dealing with them their whole life and they don't know how to deal with them. So it's a bogus philosophy, totally bogus. The point is you learn how to be gentle and properly behaved, detached, control the senses, service attitude, cleanliness, all these different things, then you can deal with women. So it's totally the opposite. Those who deal all the way through generally can't deal with them properly. Those that don't deal, except for when it was connected with service, they can deal. Right? So, yeah. Okay. A brahmachari sannyasi should avoid talking with women or reading literature concerning talks about man and woman. So? Oh, is that how you got there? Okay. The injunction restricting association with women is the basic principle of spiritual life. Right? Because otherwise, unless it's restricted, where does it go? Like Krishna with his wives. He's got 16,108 wives. Main thing is he's talking with Rukmini, that one of the can't remember exact words, but basically saying the essential points of happiness in grihastha life is the situations of being able to pleasantly sit and joke and laugh with the wife. That's what he mentions the thing. That's why he was trying to make some jokes with Rukmini, though it didn't exactly work. But you know, like that. Because if that had been Satyabhama had told all that, he would have gotten earful. He probably wouldn't have even been able to finish the whole thing. Just the first one already, he would have gotten an earful. So he kept going until she, you know, fainted. But yeah. So he was just saying is that the whole point is just that joking and nice. So the sitting, the talking, the looking, the glances, all these things, that's what's nice. And that's why the women were interacting. It says that all the queens are dressing up nicely and dealing very nicely because of Krishna, just how he'd deal, how he'd smile, how he'd interact with them, the care for them, all those kind of things. That's why they go, not because he did something fabulous, that's why she dressed up. It's because of attitude, it's because of mood, therefore she dressed up. Because for a girl, dressing up is a mood. It's not a thing. Right? The boys think it's a thing. No, it's not. It's a mood. So depending on the mood, that's then the dressing. Right? So Krishna, being Atmarama, he doesn't require the women. So he's neither attached, nor is he inimical. He's neutral. So therefore, he deals as he should as a husband. And because of that, therefore, they're responding so nicely as wives. Right? So, without that attitude of being able to control the senses, and that, how will one be able to do that? That's the point. Does that make sense? That's the whole idea. Because this is where the tricks lie. It's thought it's in this, it's in that, it's so many things. No, it's just in that control of the senses and consideration. That's there, then all the other things happen. Then the chastity and the satisfaction happen. So that's the whole crux here. So that's the point, is it's learned as a brahmacharya in this way. It's not understood because the modern society does not have any equivalent. Right? Because when do you become a monk? When you're five? No, when you're older. Right? So the Vedic system is you live like a monk when you're young, and then when you get older, then you decide you want to continue in that way or get married. This way, you're older, you decide to be a monk, and then you're stuck. Like that. You don't have a way out. There isn't a good way out. Right? It means you can do it, and it's okay. Best is move to a different, state or country where no one knows you. But here it's just, it's just standard you go through. It's the natural progression. And if someone stays, means if they grow up, get married, it's glorious. If they stay, they remain, then that's even, that's even special. So it's not both are fine. That's the idea. Or literature concerning talks between man and woman. So then there's literatures that's all about, all the romantic and this and that and these, that then it also gains an interest because who's writing about those things? It's a man who's attached to women. Like that. So then you're associating what it says here with those who are attached to women. Like that. The injunction restricting association with women is the basic principle of spiritual life. Associating or talking with women is never advised in any of the Vedic literatures. The entire Vedic system teaches one to avoid sex life so that one may gradually progress from brahmacharya to grihastha, from grihastha to vanaprastha, and from vanaprastha to sannyas, and thus give up material enjoyment, which is the original cause of bondage to this material world. Right? We got here because we want to enjoy, separate from Krishna. Right? So that means enjoy the facilities. Enjoying the facilities means engaging the senses. So what is a more complete engagement of the senses than involvement between man and woman? It covers all the senses. Right? Does that make sense? Boys get together, as long as they're doing something stupid, they're happy. It doesn't necessarily have to engage the senses other than bothering someone else's. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that it's very restricted. But when you put them together, that's when then all aspects of the senses are engaged. So that's why it says it's restricted. Otherwise, then where does it go? You say, but how do you enjoy this and that? Just read what the facilities they're saying is restricted. You're restricted because you have this kind of thing. You have bed sheets. They're white. They're clean. Like that. Different things like that. It mentions. So to do all that, that's nice stuff. It says that the pillows, mattresses were as white and as soft as the foam on milk. You can imagine, what count is that? an Egyptian cotton, forget it. It's probably silk or something else, right? So it's like, it's not that they don't have facilities. That's the thing. Because in the Western idea, so if you don't do this, you have nothing. It's like that one, I forget what it was, a baron or something. He was asking that devotee in England, what do you have to do to do, practice this? And he mentioned the four regulative principles. He says, that's the totality of life. If you take that away, there's nothing else. the whole of his English life was based around those four. So that's the problem. That's the problem. Is we don't have an experience. So therefore, here we're giving an alternative, and then we'll try to judge it by this modern environment that does not actually have any way to judge all this. Okay. The word Brihadrata refers to one who has decided not to marry, or in other words, not to indulge in sex life throughout his entire life. So, at least with the brahmachari, he has that great vrata. Now, up to the end of his brahmachari training, he maintains that. After that, he can decide whether to continue it. Right? So then someone who continues it beyond that, then that's what you would say is the Brihadrata. But before that, then it's the same principle, but it's for a determined amount of time, right? So in the Vedic system, generally, it would be 12 years was standard, as a like that. Though Prabhupada recommended 20, right? But 12 was a general standard like that, because you'd have a lot of people who weren't interested in the spiritual aspect. So if you're only interested in the character and other skills, then it can be shorter. But if you want character, you have to start earlier, and therefore it's longer. So, yeah. Sri Narad Muni continued, "If the wife of the spiritual master is young, a young brahmachari should not allow her to take care of, for her to care for his hair, massage his body with oil, or bathe him with affection like a mother." Right. So in other words, if she's older, then she may be doing that for the brahmachari. So it's not that that there's not these kind of care, but it'll be respectful because it's the spiritual master's wife. Right? So there's no sense of proprietorship there. You know, there'll be something there, but it's restrained by the environment, that the gurukul is the man's environment. So it's not that it's a woman's environment. She decides the schedule. She decides what'll happen. No, it doesn't happen like that. He's fixed that, and with that, then she connects with that. And in this way, then, she naturally will show that kind of affection. But if she's very young, then, you know, it means she's young and he's young. That doesn't mean, okay, she's young and he's five. It means she's young, you know, in her teens, and he's young in his teens. Then they don't do that. You understand? Because the nature is that according to the position, the nature is that it's not age that creates the mother attitude. So it's not that you have to be older to have that attitude. That's a Western concept, is that you get so old that the lust kind of burns out, or you burnt out. Therefore, then you can be a little motherly. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, in other words, you see the ones pushing the pram, and they've got high heels, and you know, if they bent over, you'd want to be looking in the other direction, you know, that kind of thing. And then you have those ones that kind of look like moms, like that. So, depending upon, does that make some sense? Yeah. So it means that. So it's not about age, it's a mentality. So by that mentality, they'll have the motherly mood, and they'll be acting in that, but still it shouldn't be if they're that similar, you know, young age. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Unnecessary association with women, even with one's mother, sister, or daughter, is strictly prohibited. This is human civilization," right? So the young kid, he doesn't know how to do it, and so then she takes care, that's all right. But by the time he's at this age, he should be able to take care of himself. So that, therefore, it's unnecessary. But if he was smaller, then it's not unnecessary, because they don't know what to do with stuff, right? "This is human civilization. A civilization that allows men to mix unrestrictedly with women is an animal civilization. In Kali Yuga, people are extremely liberal, but mixing with women and talking with them as equals actually constitutes an uncivilized way of life, because it hasn't improved the quality of life. It's thought it will make everything better. It'll make it greater, but the quality of life in general, the quality of relationships between men and women, all these things have gone down. Like, I remember devotees talking, you know, about their parents and their community they've come from, that someone in the village got divorced. It was a big thing. It just never happens. And nowadays, that, you know, if the marriage lasted, it's like, wow, I didn't think that would, you know. So it's completely different. So even though the liberalness is there, it has not improved the quality of life. Though it's, you know, by Maya's encouragement, once, you know, inspired to think so, but one only degrades oneself. Sri Narad Muni continued, "Woman is compared to fire and man is compared to a butter pot. Therefore, a man should avoid associating even with his own daughter in a secluded place. Similarly, he should also avoid association with other women. One should associate with women only for important business and not otherwise." So there's something important that has to be accomplished, you know, or the husband with his wife, then naturally the cultivation of the relationship, that's important. But outside of that, it's not important. Does that make sense? Because there won't be any more quality anyway. Let us say the man goes to work, comes home in the evening, he leaves in the morning, comes home in the evening. There'll be a certain amount of quality time spent with between husband and wife, as long as they're aware of the importance of this and make an endeavor for it. Yes? Okay. Now, let's say they have the whole day together. they won't spend any more quality time than they will have if they had gone to work. So that's the point of don't spend unnecessary time. No, it's just the particular amount of quality time. That's important. But in other words, instead of hanging around the house all day, like that, then, you know, should go out and clean the garage or do something useful. Yeah. So he's maybe not out doing stuff. He does that stuff, you know, all the stuff that you want him to do that he hasn't done, so that's when he does that stuff. And then having done that stuff, then there's that quality time.
So from the Gurukul training, it should have been done earlier. They catch...
cleaning the garage.
No, they catch the point that they shouldn't hang out at home all the time.
Yes. Yes. Same time as it's balanced. So it's not that they're away from home more than necessary. You know what I'm saying? So it goes both ways because you have your duties. So the duties are done, so you do those properly. And outside of that, then there's not extra time put. Point is it's not understood is that if you follow a format, you get something. That would be like saying following a recipe, you know, won't get you a good result. Because following a recipe, you're totally restricted. Quarter teaspoon of that, half teaspoon of that. I mean, it's very restricted. Put it in the pot at this temperature, cook it for this many minutes. You know, it's very restricted. But you get a good result. So the point is since restriction is necessary, use the best one. Right? Use the best recipe. So that's the Vedic system. That's what Narad Muni is giving to Yudhishthira Maharshi. This is the best recipe. Following this restriction will get you the best result. We just are not, accustomed to this, so therefore we'll think, no, this can't be possible. But the point is anything else that they've tried in history hasn't been possible either. So why not try this? Srila Prabhupada comments. If a butter pot and fire are kept together, the butter within the pot will certainly melt. Woman is compared to fire and a man is compared to a butter pot. However advanced one may be in restraining the senses, it is almost impossible for a man to keep himself controlled in the presence of a woman, even if she is his own daughter, mother, or sister. Indeed, his mind is agitated even if one is in the renounced order of life. Like Lord Chaitanya would say, even a wooden doll will create, you know, like that. Okay. Therefore, Vedic civilization carefully restricts mingling between men and women. If one cannot understand the basic principles of restraining association between man and woman, he is to be considered an animal. So it's not that, oh no, but in the modern this, that. It's just, okay, you don't understand it? You're an animal, that's all. You're a nice animal. Deers are nice animals, right? Very gentle, like that, cute to look at, you know. Not as cuddly as koala bears, but hey, you know, not bad. That is the purport of this verse. It's very simple. This is where it is. Understand it, then try to make it work. If we spend all our time trying to fight the no, why do I have to do this? When do we ever get around to doing it? You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you have devotees in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and they're still trying to, do we need Varnashram? When are they going to learn it? They're never going to learn it. So, chanting Hare Krishna, of course, you can go back to Godhead, but they can learn it over there. Because they will teach you there. Right, you know. They will teach you there. Right? When Krishna leaves the village, right, with the cowherd boys, do the gopis go running after him?
No.
Mother Yashoda going out a bit, they'll stand behind her. That's how they'll get out. But that's it. They'll teach you all this stuff. So you can learn it now so it'll be a little bit more comfortable there, or you can get there and still have your issues. And then, you know, like that. You know. And if you really have issues, you have, what's his name? What's his name? Yeah, that something Mazumdar. Hiranya Mazumdar? No, that's on this side. Those are the good guys. They're talking about you have the group at the cowherds at Nandagaon, the cowherds at Varshana, and the cowherds at Yavat. So Nandamaraj is the head of that group. then at this group, then you have Rishabhanu Maharaj, and at this other group, you have something Mazumdar. He's a good friend with Kamsa, and he's a good friend with Abhimanyu. And so if you really want to just always buck the system, hey, there is a group for you. Don't worry. Huh? I can't remember. But he's got different people also, different groups. I think Bengalis have a particular name for him like that. So he's got his name. Okay. Sri Narad Muni continued. As long as a living entity is not completely self-realized, as long as it is not independent of the misconception of identifying with his body, which is nothing but a reflection of the original body and senses, he cannot be relieved of the conception of duality, which is epitomized by the duality between man and woman, right? So until one gets to that stage, means if you're self-realized, then there'll be no problem because you don't see a difference. I mean, it's not that you can't tell the difference for etiquette between men and women. The point is that there's nothing to enjoy. There's nothing within the material creation that's for enjoyment. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then it's the feminine nature is seeing how much can be enjoyed. So the men are thinking, I can enjoy this. Then the women are judging about how enjoyable are they. Right? Oh, she looks better than that one because she's more enjoyable. You understand? So it's based on this principle of duality. So until one's liberated, one will have that. So until that, one should follow the rules. And if you're liberated, you follow them anyway because you set proper example, because there's nothing to do anyway. So why do you need to be there? There's no attachment, so you'd only deal how much you need. Does that make sense? So in either way, it would be practice. So that's the beauty of the Vedic system, is that the rules for the neophyte are the rules that the Madhyama and Uttama also follow. It's just that their levels of consciousness are higher, and it's easier to follow. So, okay. Thus, there's every chance that you fall down because his intelligence is bewildered, right? Because there's the option for sense gratification, so therefore, that's the mind. And then the mind will start controlling the intelligence, so the intelligence gets bewildered, because then it starts thinking of ways to get something out of the system. Right? Does that make sense? Instead of just how to serve Krishna. So that's the whole point of it, is put yourself in a situation in which you can always remember Krishna and not forget. That's what one's trying to do. Srila Prabhupada comments, here is another important warning that a man must save himself from attraction to women. Until one is self-realized, fully independent of the illusory conception of the material body, the duality of man and woman must undoubtedly continue. But when one is actually self-realized, this distinction ceases. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva swapakecha pandita samadarshina. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. Bhagavad Gita 5.18. On the spiritual platform, the learned person not only gives up the duality of man and woman, but also gives up the duality of man and animal. This is the test of self-realization. One must realize perfectly that the living being is spirit soul, but is tasting various types of material bodies. One may theoretically understand this, but when one has practical realization, then he actually becomes a pundit, one who knows. So it's not having the knowledge is makes you pundit. It's having the realization that makes you a pundit. Of course, if you have lots of knowledge, one will be called a pundit. But an actual pundit is one who has realization. Right? So that's what we're trying to get to. So the whole ashram system is how to gain self-realization, how to get beyond duality. So you use the elements of duality according to the rules and regulations of the Shastra to engage in the Lord's service that purifies you of the need and hankering for those aspects of duality. That brings you to the transcendental platform. So whatever position you're in, you engage that in the Lord's service, it works very nicely. So, yes. Until that time, the duality continues. And the And the conception of man and woman also continues. In this stage, one should be extremely careful about mixing with women. No one should think himself perfect, forget the Shastra and the conjunction that one should be very careful about associating even with his daughter, mother, or sister, not to speak of other women. Right? Because daughter, mother, or sister, there's some restriction there. So what to speak of other women, it's going to be worse. So the whole point, why it mentions this is because if thoughts can come up in this group, why won't it come up with any other? Like that. So that's why one is always very careful. Srila Narad Muni continued, all the rules and regulations apply equally to the householder and the sannyasi, the member of the renounced order of life, right? So these rules on the restriction on dealing with women and all this, just how you're controlling senses, apply to everybody, right? It's practiced exclusively amongst the brahmacharis. That's all they do, is these particular aspects. But the principles of these are applied all the way through. Right. So here it's Narad Muni said that himself, right? The grihastha hour is given permission by the spiritual master to indulge in sex during the period favorable for procreation. So in other words, this is the principle, but he has that license for sex. Right? That's what you add to it. And then everything that goes along with it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada comments, it is sometimes misunderstood that grihastha, household, is permitted to indulge in sex at any time. This is a wrong conception of grihastha life. In spiritual life, whether one is a grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or brahmachari, everyone is under the control of the spiritual master. For brahmacharis and sannyasis, there are strong restrictions on sexual indulgence. Similarly, there are strong restrictions for grihasthas. Grihasthas should indulge in sex life only in accordance with the order of the guru. So what's been given, that's what one follows. You understand? See, now the difficulty comes, as the question came up this morning, about, why is it changed? This is the standard and this and that. But the point is why is it association between husband and wife has to be sex? That's the question. Why can't, that means there are other elements of, intimacy. Like we said before, Krishna is sitting with his wife. They're joking. They're different. Little interactions or hugging or these. There are other aspects, but generally we don't think of these. It's sex or nothing. So that's a bit extreme, right? So the other 99 shades in between, like that. Okay? Does that make sense? So, that's what it's trying to arrange here. It's seeing that, then it's there. So, this idea is that the sexual aspect is only for creating children. Like that. Other aspects aren't for creating children. Like that. You give your wife a hug, she's not pregnant. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, that's the point, is that there's other aspects. So this is then what is controlled. You understand? But nowadays it just means anything. Does that make sense? Yeah. Oh, that was the mosquito. Oh, I thought you were saying... Oh, since you called... Oh, yeah, okay, I have a question.
Anytime. If we say that brahmachari, they should be trained, restraining their senses, serving the guru, how will they know how to deal with women? From shastra only? So what would they be?
No, but don't you remember before we were talking about all those things of brahmacharya, how those apply? That's why he says, all the rules and regulations apply equally to the householder and sannyasi. So one, you have the point is, dealing with women, that's specific, that's dealing with all others. The other, the main points deal, it's just like this. Let us say we have written on the document irreconcilable differences. Okay? What are those differences? What are they actually? You don't know what I'm talking about. Anybody else knows what I'm talking about? You know. Yeah. It's the common terminology on divorce, irreconcilable differences. It means they're so different they can't get along. What are the differences?
Small.
Yeah, they're all small. All those are what's trained in brahmacharya. So this old idea is that interacting with the women and this and that, is that if you do want to say only by shastra, what, name me the grihastha that knows shastra and how to deal with women.
No, I'm just,
you know what I'm saying?
Brahmacharis, I'm just...
Because the point is, those who don't go through brahmacharis don't know anything either. At least the brahmacharis have the qualities to get along with them. So they're ahead. Now, if you learn also other aspects and all that, but then the point is, you know, how's that going to go down? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the idea is that if you're conscious that the environment is about the spiritual master and you're doing everything to please the spiritual master, then that's being done to please Krishna, but you're doing it in that environment, of his environment. So you're working in an environment, living in an environment where you're comfortable working on other people's interests or needs. So if a brahmachari has that, and then he gets married, will that not work to advantage in grihastha life? If he's sensitive to things the wife needs, what she wants done, and that, will that be a problem? You know what I'm saying? So in other words, as we said before, there's not a technique as such. It's qualities that you have to understand. That's where the point, because the woman is working on emotions and feelings. Those are in the realm of qualities. He may learn technique and skills, but that has nothing to do with ladies. You know, okay, he can drive his motorcycle. I remember some kids, teenagers. All they did was play with their motorcycles all day. They could drive, and they could, how they dealt with it, they could take one hand off of the handlebars. And just using the gas and the gear change, no clutch, they could change with no problems because they just had it down. Just because you blip it, and then just when you release, that's when you change. They could do it. Now, does that mean that he's going to be great with women? You know, wow, I want to marry that guy, you know? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that people learn all these skills. And so that the guy had no skills, that means he's potential, he can get things done. But what things must he get done? His things or her things?
Her.
Her things. But the brahmachari is the one that learns that he gets stuff done for someone else. He's in the gurukul for, you know, 10 years. All he's doing is doing things for someone else. That's good. Okay, he learns to be clean. Good or not? Yes, okay. Let us say he has less stuff, he's happy with less stuff. Is that good or not? Yeah, that means all the closet space and drawer space is for you. He gets two drawers and, you know, that part of the closet in the hallway. And then he's good. And everything else in the bedroom's yours. Right? He got basement also. And in the bathroom. He's got, you know, the brahmacharis take their toothbrush and that to the bathroom, use it, and take it back. What does that mean? That means everything in the bathroom is all yours. Because he'll come in, do his stuff, and leave. And how will he leave the sink and everything? Gorilla hairs everywhere? No. He'll keep it clean. Because that's brahmachari training. Now, how many come up to that standard of brahmachari training? That's another thing, but at least they're aware that that's there. So when the wife points it out, it's not like, where'd that come from? Does that make sense? So the point is everything about brahmachari life prepares one for grihastha life, and not doing it that way, you have no preparation. No matter what anybody says, who's saying it? Is it properly situated, been married forever, have a great relationship, grihasthas that are complaining about these principles in Gurukul? No. Disgruntled women, disgruntled men, nothing works, nothing this and that. They got all the things because they say, oh, this can't work. That's it. But as far as reality, no. that okay? Yeah, so there's no need of a separate thing like that.
So if you have a married couple and they're both very strict about their celibacy practice, like...
But what does strict mean?
For example...
See, strict means they're not off with the neighbors or with, the gardener or, you know, how you say, the live-in maid or the nanny or... You know, how you say your wife's friends that always come and hang over. Or this is strict.
Celibacy of mind as well.
You know, we don't mean Mahatma Gandhi where he sticks a knife in between in the middle of the bed.
Well, I mean, like, if they're both conscientious too, like celibacy of mind. Maybe I'm mistaken thinking like celibacy is not just an action. It's like...
It's a mental state.
It's like a mentality.
It's a mentality.
It's a behavior. It's like a whole...
It's the idea that we're not looking for sense gratification, we're looking for how to serve Krishna. So that's the point. Procreating children, that's a service that can be done in the Grihastha ashram connected to Krishna. Right? So therefore, that aspect, then that's Krishna conscious. Other than that, then it has to be, it's just, you know, the maintenance of the relationship, because that's the interaction, the nature. The point is if it's about joking, guys, put a bunch of guys around, all they do is joke. Right? Because laughing is an intellectual thing that at some point it changes and you don't expect it. That's what makes it a joke. Right? So that's what men do. They sit around and take one thing and keep adjusting it intellectually and getting how much they can out of it. You know, it's like flogging a dead horse or something. You know, they just go for it. Okay? Does that make sense? So when it comes to joke, they're laughing harder and this and that, but it doesn't have the enjoyment of joking with the wife. Why? Because there's a whole other thing behind that. The closeness, what share, the intimacy, all these different things. There, it's light, it's subtle, it's pleasant. You know, we're not talking about, you know, whacking, you know, laughing, rolling on the ground, whacking yourself on the knee and stuff like that. You know, I mean, if you live out in the Ozarks, okay, maybe that's the way it's going to be, you know. But, you know, other than that, then, okay, Appalachians also. Yeah, but I should restrict it, right? Yeah.
So I guess my question was then, So if you have that type of ideal relationship, it might sound funny, but you know, can it enhance like the celibacy? If you have like someone, you're building something very sacred, like protecting the celibacy, protecting the...
That's there, but the point is it's not about the celibacy. That's why you don't want to focus on that. Otherwise, then you also get... Though they're good for constipation, but, you know, prunes have their limitation.
So it's more about just getting in the mood of serving Krishna?
That's the point. It's about not trying to enjoy the material energy separate than its connection to Krishna. So in other words, we're trying to engage everything in Krishna's service. So in the beginning, we may have the enjoying spirit that this aspect, it's within duty. I like doing it. I like the results of this, but I'm doing it in connection to Krishna. But it has to come to the point is that I can perform this activity as service for Krishna, and that's why I'm doing it, not because of what I'll get from it. That's what you're trying to get to. But it starts from that understanding. If you don't have that understanding, how you'll make it work. Otherwise, just because you follow the rules, just because one's celibate, okay, nice, but the point is what's the devotion in there? Okay, you're nice guys, you're celibate, great. But at the same time is one's engagement of one's body, mind, and words being connected to the Lord. That must be seen. Does that make sense? So that's it. So the focus is not... That's the problem. The past devotees have thought about this, but they focus on these things, not on the aspect connecting it to Krishna, not its actual purpose. So then when they have trouble doing this, then they say it's not possible. But the point is Krishna is the one that he pulls one's senses back from the material energy. But why will that happen? Because of devotion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if there's no devotion, then why will that happen? Other than you're committed to that for a long period of time. And that, so by austerity, according to the rules, then, okay, you'll get some results from that. Does that make sense? So they'll be very, very strict here, and then they'll end up on the heavenly planets, and then they don't have any restrictions. Then the problem comes when they come back here, they're used to an unrestricted lifestyle, then when they come here, it's very hard to follow, so therefore they go down. That's why samsara is a circle. You go from, you're austere, you go up, you make the heavenly planets, you enjoy there, then when you that runs out, you come here, you're attached to sense gratification, all that, then you just go down. And then when it comes too hellish, you think this is crazy, so then you start to get it together, so then you start to move up again. And that's all they do. Understand? So we're talking about, by pleasing Krishna, he removes the material attachment. But he does that. So therefore, it has to be for him. If it's only that we're celibate because being celibate's good, then it's nice, it's pious, but it's not actually the point. Right? Because the point of grihastha life is not being celibate. The point of grihastha life is engaging in Krishna service. Right? But part of that is they're grihastha brahmacharis. They're following these rules, but it's in the environment of grihastha life, so engaging all those different aspects. Does that make sense? Yes?
The difference between the brahmachari and the grihastha brahmachari is that they both know, they both have the same knowledge, but one hasn't realized it completely?
Yes. Means that means if he goes on to be a Naistika brahmachari, as Narad Muni mentioned. Mm-hmm. But if he's a brahmachari and that gets married, as Upa Kurvana, then that's where he'll get his realization. In other words, he gained the knowledge as a brahmachari, and now he'll realize it as a grihastha. But the Naistika, in other words, he's able to realize it as a brahmachari.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Did we read Srila Prabhupada's comments?
Yeah.
No.
Did you have a nice one? We did.
No. No, the next one.
Yes.
It is sometimes this one. It is sometimes understood that a grihastha household is permitted to indulge in sex at any time. This is a wrong conception of grihastha life. In spiritual life, whether one is a grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or brahmachari, everyone is under the control of the spiritual master. We did read this one. Okay, Narad Muni continued. Right? Brahmacharis or grihasthas who have taken the vow of celibacy, as described above, right? As described above. That means grihasthas, they're married, they're with their wife, they have children, but it's not about having sex anytime they like, anywhere they like, and everything like that, right? Not move into a new house and, you know, christen every part of the house. Not that kind of jazz, right? Okay. Yes. Yeah. So, really?
New ideas.
Okay. Okay. And taking the vow of celibacy, as described above, should not indulge in the following. Applying powder or ointment to the eyes. Like that. Means, in other words, the cudgel and all that. That doesn't look. It's a standard thing that would be used, but if they want to be really strict about, because these are, in other words, all these things are going to be things that can create passion. Like that. Does that make sense? That would be the men.
No.
Yeah, don't worry.
The men don't apply cotton, what?
Yeah.
But men apply cotton?
Yeah,
Now you don't see as much, but if you go back into traditional communities and houses, yeah, they wear like that.
Krishna wears it, yeah?
Yeah, Krishna wears it. Looks good.
Yeah, maybe I've seen it, but I thought it was natural. I thought it was just...
No, they're wearing
it. I've seen a few boys wear it here.
Yeah. If they have it on one eye and they're wearing a bowler, then cross the street. Right? Okay. At least that reference was understood. Okay. Okay. Okay, massaging the head with oil, massaging the body with the hands, seeing a woman or painting a woman's picture, eating meat, drinking wine, decorating the body with flower garlands, smearing scented ointment on the body, or decorating the body with ornaments. These they should give up. According to the rules and regulations mentioned above, one who is twice born, namely a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, should reside in the Gurukul under the care of the spiritual master. There he should study and learn all the Vedic literatures along with their supplements and the Upanishads, according to his ability and power to study. Right? So the point is character that everybody can develop. Right? Some will be more or less, but they can all develop character. Then, according to their ability and studies, they'll study and they'll gain more or less. Right? So they're going to use study as their medium, but it's actually about developing the character. Right? Because to study, you have to be peaceful. If you're not peaceful, you can't sit and study. Right? I think one devotee asked Prabhupada when he was saying his mind was restless, and Prabhupada said you should read. Because when you read, one, you get purified, but two, you have to sit and focus. And so then the mind becomes purified, and then therefore then one is more peaceful. Okay. Okay, I think we'll stop here, otherwise it'll... Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitai Gaura Prema ki.